Well, good morning and welcome to all, particularly our guests who join us here today for the offering of the Sunday Mass here at the Church of the Madeleine. Know that you're always welcome to join us anytime in the future. The second collection that's going to be taken up at this Mass is one that's being taken up not only in our parish, but parishes throughout the United States at the request of our bishops. It will go to Catholic Relief Services to aid those affected by the recent flooding in southern Louisiana. Some 20,000 people had to be rescued from their homes in that flooding. Some 60,000 homes were damaged. So before we take up the collection, I just want to say God bless you and thank you for the generosity that you'll be showing. This is also Catechetical Sunday, so we'll be offering in a few moments a blessing for all of our volunteers who teach our children and youth, whether it's on Sunday morning or Saturday evening or on Wednesday night. We'll also extend the same blessing to all teachers, and no matter what schools they may teach in, and all school administrators as well. Sure, the announcements, lots of stuff that's going on this week. The Divine Mercy documentary today at 1. We've got the Living and Discerning Life program begins on Tuesday. The men's Bible study and breakfast has resumed. We meet on Thursday mornings at 6 a.m. We finish at 7:15, and all the men in the parish are welcome to attend. We have the 40 Days of Life beginning on September the 18th, the Outreach Day on October the 1st. We have our inquiry meetings for those wanting to know about the Catholic Church. Those are on Wednesdays at 7. And our Y Disciples meet on Saturday evening for the high school and Wednesday for the middle school. Now, for those of you that have a background in law enforcement or firefighters or first responders, Bishop Condorla is going to celebrate a special Mass on Thursday, September the 29th at noon at Holy Family Cathedral. It's often referred to as the Blue Mass. So you and your families are welcome to attend. We'll have information about that is in the hallway. My thanks to those who showed such great hospitality to me at Carnegie School on Friday, where I went to have lunch with some of our parishioners who are students there. I had my visitor's badge that I wore, and I had and I attached a handwritten sign to it that read, "I am their father, but I am not their daddy." And apparently, I need to include a statement about not being anybody's grandpa either. All this gray hair is catching up with me. Now, on Tuesday this week, I will be visiting Casha Hall for lunch, both with the middle and the upper schools. And on Wednesday, I will be at Bishop Kelly at 8 o'clock for I'll be bringing breakfast with me in the chapel building, so the students and the faculty that are Madeleine parishioners and their friends are welcome to join us. I'll be available to hear confessions on Tuesday from 6 to 7 and on Wednesdays from 5 to 6. I'll be gone this coming Friday. I'll be visiting Holy Trinity Seminary in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. It's a collegeable seminary where we have three men studying there. I'm on the seminary board and also on the vocations team. So I've been asked, there's a special event that I've been asked to attend there, but I'll be back on Saturday. There are two scripture verses that we often hear that are used to condemn greed. One is from the Gospel of Luke that we've just heard. You cannot love or serve God and money. Another is from St. Paul's letter to Timothy, his first letter, in which the quote is, "Money is the root or source of all evil." Now, greed is a vice that needs to be condemned and corrected, but these two verses that we often use them to do so, more often than not, they get misquoted. What St. Paul actually writes to Timothy is that it is the love of money that is the root of all evil. And as I'm sure we're listening closely to the gospel reading, Jesus says, you cannot serve both God and mammon. Now, mammon is an interesting word. We don't often hear it or used in usual speech. It is apparently from an Aramaic word that means something more than simply money. It means more along the lines of economic security and success in business. And to make that the primary goal of life at the expense of all else is seen as an act of idolatry, the worship of a false god. And elsewhere in the Gospels, Jesus puts it this way when he says, what profit a man to gain the whole world, but to lose his life, lose himself, lose his soul in the process? Understanding mammon, I think, is important to trying to understand this difficult saying from Jesus in today's gospel about this dishonest steward. It's the next lesson in discipleship, in which the focus is on how a disciple relates to material wealth and financial success. Now, in this parable, when we hear the word steward, think along the lines of business manager. Somebody is employed to manage someone's estate or property. And in this case, at best, the steward is mismanaging his employer's property and at worst is embezzling from him. And a crisis has come. He's going to be dismissed, so he acts quickly. He writes off a portion of the debts owed to his employer. Now, some biblical scholars point out that what he may be doing is writing off his take. He was skimming off the top. He was overcharging. So that 50 or 20 units of the item, that was the portion that he may have been embezzling. And for this, he is praised by his employer. You know, as with most of Jesus' parables, there is a twist, unexpected end. It's a reaction that offends, I think, for many of us, our sense of justice. If he's embezzling, we expect maybe some type of what we call a perp walk. You know, coming out with the steward wearing a new set of stainless steel bracelets, known as handcuffs. Something like that. The steward has done. He's made mammon, not God and neighbor, the focus of his life. His own economic security and success is tainted, but how he relates to others. Those who owe the debts. The one who is his employer, and so on. For him, they were people to be used for his own benefit, not people to be respected, not people to be loved. Because he valued business success above all else, his relationships are calculated for his benefit. And this is his great sin, the worship of that false god that causes him to be honest, to be dishonest in matters large and small, not trustworthy with either dishonest wealth, material goods, or with true wealth, the kingdom of heaven. The prophet Amos, whom we also hear from today, you notice he has some pretty harsh words for such attitudes and behaviors, especially when it's the poor that are being defrauded. You might say he lays it on pretty thick. Takes a pretty heavy piece of wood to those who are worshiping mammon. To be a disciple of Jesus, taking up the cross daily to be touched by divine mercy, it does include how material wealth and financial security are understood. For a disciple, they are to be used, but not valued in and of themselves. The scriptures are clear that it's no crime to be wealthy, to have material possessions. But to be a disciple, to be authentically the church, is to see that wealth is only has value in what it can do for the good of others. St. Thomas Aquinas defines love as willing the good of the other. And that's how we see it in the Catechism. That's how the Catechism defines love. Willing the good of the other without expecting a return. In terms of personal wealth, in our parish, no doubt there are some who are doing well. Perhaps quite well. There are others who struggle to make ends meet, just scraping by. And everybody else is probably somewhere in between on that ladder. In this, no matter the economic value of our possessions, we are to all use them towards the same goal, and that is for the good of others. Because we can serve either God or we can serve mammon. We can't do both. It's either or. It's not a both and. Nor can we accept any attempt to substitute the gospel of mercy for a gospel of prosperity. The prosperity gospel, as some call it, that is promoted by some Christians, is basically believing that if we have faith in God, then God in turn will grant us security and prosperity as well as good health. A Salvatoran brother, Brother Elias Henderson, points out that there are some serious implications for promoting such a gospel. Because it implies that God favors the rich and the healthy. And it implies that sickness, poverty, and disappointment are seen as somehow a punishment for lack of faith or infidelity. But remember, when the Word of God became flesh in the incarnation, Jesus, the human face of the Father's mercy, who does He spend His time with? Who does He hang out with? It's not the healthy and the wealthy. It's the poor, the sick, the dispossessed, the known sinners. God, it seems, has a particular love for them because they are most in need of mercy. Today, as we also hear St. Paul tell Timothy that Christ Jesus gave Himself as ransom for all. All. Meaning both the rich and the poor and the in-between. For the sick and the healthy, the young and the old. All. Last week on the church's calendar, we celebrated the memorial of St. John Chrysostom. He was a 4th century bishop of Constantinople, current day Istanbul. And he was one of the original doctors or great theologians of the church. And he was known for many things, among them some pithy sayings about faith and also how the rich and the poor should relate to one another. And one of them was, the rich exist so that the poor will not starve. The poor exist so that the rich can get to heaven. Another one was, if you don't find Christ in the beggar at the church door, you will not find Him, Christ, in the chalice on the altar. He lays it on pretty thick as well. He also takes some pretty heavy wood to those who serve mammon, just like the prophet Amos. And this included the emperor and the empress in Constantinople. He ruffled feathers. That's why John Chrysostom died in exile. The emperor and the empress can send you all the way to the furthest reaches of the empire. But remember, we recognize John Chrysostom as a saint. Because he did lay it on pretty thick. He did take some pretty heavy lumber to those who worship God, worship mammon instead of God. The words of Jesus today are a challenge. Not so much because the dishonored steward is not brought out in handcuffs. They challenge because they should cause us to pause and consider our basic attitudes towards wealth and security. How do they affect our relationships with God and with each other? Do we use people or do we respect them? Do we love them, willing their good, or do we seek to somehow manipulate and dominate them, not only economically, but emotionally, perhaps even physically, and for our own benefit? Do we live in a spiritual poverty with God at the center? Do we seek to live in authentic generosity? And whatever wealth we have, do we see it as a gift from God and entrusted to us for the good of others? Is this how we understand and live our discipleship, serving God alone in our pilgrimage of faith? For if we are dishonest in small matters, we will be dishonest in great ones. If we are not trustworthy with dishonest wealth, who will trust us with honest wealth? The kingdom of heaven. For the greatest wealth of all is the gift of Christ Jesus, who gives Himself to us this day in the Eucharist, whose life we are to conform ourselves to. It is He who wills that salvation be offered to all, rich and poor, young and old, sick and healthy, and that everyone come to the knowledge of the truth and the great treasure of the kingdom of God.